12 years, 3 months, and still no answer. That's where we are with Malaysia Airlines Flight MH370. And this week, Malaysia announced the search is being extended through 2027, giving the undersea exploration company Ocean Infinity another year to find what the ocean has refused to give up. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Before we get into it, a word from today's sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, the discipline, and the pride behind every step in flight training and beyond. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story worth carrying. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, MH370. If you weren't flying commercially in March of 2014, or even if you were, this story has become so layered with time that it's easy to lose track of the facts. So let's start from the beginning, because the beginning still matters. March 8, 2014, a Boeing 777-200 extended range departs Kuala Lumpur International Airport at 12:41 in the morning, local time, bound for Beijing Capital International Airport, 239 people on board, 12 crew, 227 passengers, Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. The flight was routine in every way for the first 38 minutes. At 0119, the crew checked in with Kuala Lumpur radar, acknowledged a frequency transfer to Ho Chi Minh Center, and signed off with "Good night, Malaysian 370. That was the last voice contact. Less than 2 minutes later, the aircraft's transponder went silent. The secondary radar return, the Mode C, the ATIS squawk, gone. What followed was not an emergency response, not immediately. The disappearance wasn't declared until hours had passed, and even then, early search efforts focused on the South China Sea, the last known radar position, rather than where the plane actually went. Here's what investigators eventually pieced together through military radar and satellite handshake data from Inmarsat. After the transponder went dark, the aircraft turned a deliberate programmed turn west, then south. It flew for approximately 7 more hours on autopilot, burning through fuel, crossing back over the Malay Peninsula, then curving south into some of the most remote ocean on the planet, the Southern Indian Ocean, west of Australia, in a search zone that stretches across hundreds of thousands of square nautical miles of water, averaging more than 10,000 feet deep. The Inmarsat data gave investigators what they called the seventh arc, a curved line on the globe representing where the aircraft was when its last automated satellite handshake was logged. Somewhere along that arc, at some point after that final ping, MH370 ran out of fuel and went down. And that's essentially everything that's been confirmed. Over the years, the search has moved in phases. The initial multinational military and civil search effort found nothing in the South China Sea. Once attention shifted to the Southern Indian Ocean, the Australian Transport Safety Bureau led a methodical, years-long underwater search of the most statistically probable area along the seventh arc, roughly 46,000 square nautical miles of seafloor, surveyed with the most advanced autonomous underwater vehicles available. Nothing. Then in 2017, the official Australian-led search was suspended. Suspended, not closed. The language matters. Officials said they had high confidence in their search methodology, but acknowledged they may have been looking in the wrong place. Ocean Infinity, a Texas-based marine robotics company, stepped in. They proposed a no-find, no-fee arrangement with Malaysia. If they found the wreckage, they'd be paid. If they didn't, Malaysia owed them nothing. In 2018, Ocean Infinity launched an aggressive search covering 112,000 square kilometers in just over 3 months. They found nothing, but they learned, and they came back. This week's announcement extends Ocean Infinity's current search contract through 2027. Malaysia's transport minister confirmed the government remains committed to finding the aircraft. Ocean Infinity is now operating new search vessels with more advanced autonomous underwater vehicle technology than what was available in 2018. The search area has been refined based on drift modeling, working backward from debris that has actually been recovered. And that brings up one of the genuinely remarkable threads in this story. Over the years, pieces of MH370 have washed ashore. Confirmed pieces. Not rumored, not speculative. Forensically confirmed by investigators to have come from the aircraft. The first was a flaperon, part of the wing's trailing edge that washed up on Réunion Island in July of 2015. French authorities confirmed it. Boeing engineers confirmed it. The serial number matched. That single piece of debris changed the entire story, because it told investigators two things. The plane did go down in the Indian Ocean, and the ocean currents were carrying debris in a direction consistent with the Inmarsat data. Since then, additional pieces have been confirmed: a section of a horizontal stabilizer, fragments of interior cabin panels, sections of wing structure found along the coast of Eastern Africa, Madagascar, Mozambique, and the islands of the Western Indian Ocean. Every confirmed piece has been consistent with the currents. Drift analysis run in reverse points back to a crash zone southeast of the search area's work so far. And that's where Ocean Infinity is focusing. Now, here's what you need to know about why this matters beyond the tragedy of 239 lives. MH370 is the largest aviation mystery of the modern era, not a crash where we recovered the data and understand the sequence, not an incident where the investigation, however painful, produced answers and corrective action. This is an airliner, operated by a reputable carrier, equipped with every required modern system, that flew for 7 hours after its crew made their last transmission. And we still don't know why. The aviation safety system is built on learning from accidents. The entire NTSB model, the ICAO Annex 13 process, the black box recovery, the data recorder analysis, all of it is designed to generate lessons that prevent the next accident. MH370 has so far denied us that process entirely. We can't fix what we don't understand. There are open questions that, if answered, would likely change how aviation operates. The first is the most fundamental. What happened on the flight deck in those first 38 minutes? The turn was deliberate. The system's depowering was not random. Something changed the trajectory of that aircraft. Whether it was a crew action, a structural emergency, a fire, a depressurization event, or something else, we don't know. The answer is almost certainly in the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder. Both are somewhere on the seafloor. The second question is about communication. After the transponder went dark, MH370 flew for hours with no position reporting, no voice contact, and no automatic dependent surveillance broadcast or ADS-B signal. The tracking gap was not unique to that flight. Large portions of oceanic airspace have never had radar coverage, and ADS-B, while now mandatory in most domestic airspace, has uneven global infrastructure in oceanic and polar regions. The disappearance of MH370 directly accelerated the global push toward better oceanic tracking. The International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, established new global tracking requirements in the aftermath. Airlines are now required to report position at intervals no greater than 15 minutes for aircraft operating over oceanic regions, with a move toward 1-minute reporting for distress situations via systems like satellite-based ADS-B. But those requirements came after. The lesson was learned in the absence of the answer. That's a backwards way to build a safety system, and the aviation community knows it. The third question touches the flight recorder debate. Cockpit voice recorders are required to capture 2 hours of audio. The CVR on MH370 would have begun overriding itself approximately 2 hours after the transponder went dark, long before the aircraft reached the southern Indian Ocean. Even if investigators recover the recorder intact, the audio from the critical moments near departure may no longer exist. That has restarted a very old conversation in aviation safety circles about extending CVR recording duration. Recommendations have been made. Progress has been slow. Now, a word about what the families have endured. 239 people did not come home. For 12 years, the families of those passengers and crew have lived with an answer that aviation has been unable to give them. Many have been vocal advocates for the continued search. Some have spoken publicly about the psychological cost of living with ambiguity. Not grief in the conventional sense, but grief suspended in uncertainty. Was there a moment? What did they know? Did they suffer? These are questions that cannot be answered without the wreckage, the recorders, and the evidence. The Malaysian government has faced criticism over how the early hours and days of the response were handled, the delay in declaring an emergency, the misdirected initial search, the slow release of Inmarsat data. Families have argued, with reason, that mistakes in the early response may have cost the investigation critical recovery time. The extension of the search contract through 2027 is, in part, a continued acknowledgement by the Malaysian government that they owe those families an answer. Ocean Infinity's current search phase covers an area roughly 100 kilometers wide along the 7th arc, in zones not previously searched, and south of the original Australian search zone. New drift modeling from an independent research group has suggested the crash site may lie further south than previously estimated, which is exactly where Ocean Infinity is looking. The technology they're using has advanced substantially since 2018. The autonomous underwater vehicles in the current fleet can operate at greater depths over longer endurance cycles with higher resolution imaging sonar. The seafloor mapping techniques have improved, and the team has the benefit of every data point from every prior search to guide where they go next. There is genuine optimism, carefully stated among some researchers. Not certainty, but reason to believe the probability of finding the aircraft in the current search zone is higher than it has been at any previous stage. If Ocean Infinity finds the wreckage before the 2027 deadline, the recovery process begins, and that process is not quick. Getting the flight data recorder and cockpit voice recorder to the surface, in a condition where the data can be read from water depths that may exceed 3 miles, is an engineering challenge that will take time, but it's a challenge the aviation world knows how to approach. If the search comes up empty again, the conversation about what comes next will be very difficult. Ocean Infinity's contract has a defined endpoint. Subsequent searches would require new negotiations, new funding, new political will in Kuala Lumpur. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, as it rarely does. The extension through 2027 is not a breakthrough. It's a commitment to keep looking, to not give up, to refuse to close the file on 239 people without an answer. 12 years is a long time in aviation. The Lockheed Electra, the Amelia Earhart disappearance over the Pacific in 1937, was never solved despite multiple searches. That mystery is now nearly 90 years old. The aviation world has lived with it as an open wound in the record books. MH370 doesn't have to end that way. The wreckage exists. The ocean hasn't destroyed it. The pressure and cold at those depths actually preserve debris extremely well. The recorders are likely intact, the answers are down there, and the search continues. Sources for this segment include reporting from Simple Flying, the Australian Transport Safety Bureau's published search reports, ICAO documentation on oceanic tracking requirements, and the Inmarsat satellite data analysis that remains publicly available through the Malaysian government's investigation archive. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Keep the shiny side up.